Hey everyone, I am your host Eric Mueller, and welcome back to The Eric Mueller Show, the podcast where we explore what makes any successful person's inner clock tick. What are you curious about? Where does your expertise connect with your curiosity? Today's guest, Allison Brennan, worked full-time as a pharmacist for 15 years before creating a skincare company from the ground up. Her curious desire to use nature's powerful botanicals for a simplified skincare approach combined with her expertise in medicinal chemistry, led to the founding of Emmagene & Co. Over the past several years, Allison began to notice how the skincare industry has failed us with quick-fix products and the use of expensive, ineffective ingredients. She saw a need for simpler, pure products with a much greater transparency about ingredients that were safe and effective for everyone. Allison currently runs her company full-time and employs a staff of 9 women. Emmagene & Co. also performs 100% of the formulating, manufacturing, and shipping from their own facility in Tennessee. Let's head on over to the interview. All right, welcome back to The Eric Mueller Show, the podcast where we explore what makes any successful person's inner clock tick. I'm joined today by Dr. Allison Brennan, an entrepreneur bridging the gap between science and nature as the founder of Emmagene & Co. Allison, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Eric.
Thanks for being on here. I'm really happy to have another pharmacist entrepreneur on the podcast. And Allison, before we dive deep into your entrepreneurial story, we want to know what makes up your success portfolio. So if you're listening here and you're new to the show, let me give you some quick background on this. So the way I look at it, an investment portfolio, like think stocks, it's a compilation of your investments that lay the foundation for financial goals, maybe your 401k. Well, here on The Eric Mueller Show, we want to discover how successful people like Allison invest in themselves to build the foundation for their success. So Allison, start us off. What are some skills, traits, habits, mindsets? What are some things that you've noticed that make up your success portfolio?
Oh, wow. There's so many things I could go into, but if we're going to keep it to just a few, I guess I can start with, are you familiar with the Enneagram at all, Eric?
A little bit. Yes, a little bit.
Okay. It is a wonderful tool that really tells why we are wired the way we are. And I'm a firm follower and kind of invest my time in studying deeper into the Enneagram. And with that said, everyone has a different number that is kind of their core number that makes them up as to why, what is their purpose for what they do, what makes them feel worthy, things like that. And I am a Enneagram 3, which is called the Achiever. So because of that, I guess I'm the crazy type of person who has a full-time pharmacist career and then decides to create a company on the side, you know?
Yeah.
And as someone who now can identify and understand this Enneagram piece and understand what an actual achiever means in that space, my success portfolio would be made up of, first of all, you have to have the drive behind what you're doing, whatever that is. For me, it's creating a company, but you really have to identify what is the actual purpose and reasoning for why you're doing what you're doing, because you will struggle with creating kind of a new name for yourself. If you're coming out of one career path like I have and go into another, you have to always have something to come back to as to what is your why. And you have to be very, very clear on that before you start. So I think that's really important. I also think that you have to. For me, I really focus on my time management skills and the discipline and staying on top of your time management skills. For me, being a solo founder of a company, and now I do have a team that I could not live without, but as you're taking this crash course into this new world of entrepreneurial space and business owning and managing people, you have to be able to manage your time because there are so many hats that you wear in that job responsibility. And I would say lastly, which is really important as you're finding yourself into a new focus or a new career or a new space, you know, such as becoming an entrepreneur, is really understanding that you have to surround yourself with people in that same space to really hold your hand. That can be anything from one-on-ones with people that is a mentor in the same niche or space as you. Everything from podcast to kind of those like a weekend retreat to masterminds. Those are really great investments for taking yourself to the next level to understand what you've gotten into and to build connections, because networking and connections is so important no matter what skill set you have. So you don't have to reinvent the wheel along the way because you're already taking on a new, you know, this new approach to what is going to be one of the things that defines you, which is an entrepreneurial space or creating a company or redefining yourself. And you really need to surround yourself with people that help you along that way.
Yeah, wonderfully stated. And I think, Allison, too, another piece that came to my mind. So we both went to pharmacy school. We both got a doctorate in pharmacy. I don't think everybody listening did that, but some of you definitely have. And really, when you're in that academic space, there's a real clear-cut definition of success, I think, in terms of what you need to do to succeed in the program. You need to pass. Maybe you have goals of getting on the dean's list, getting straight A's, getting a GPA. There's a lot of metrics tied to that. But I think when you exit it, those metrics kind of go away. And it's like, can you do the job? Are you able to succeed in the practice to keep people safe? And so I want to ask you, has your definition of success changed at all when you left clinical practice into starting your own business? Did you find that it was a little harder to define what it was, or was it easy to define what success means?
That is so interesting because I can answer that very clearly, but it's a really interesting answer because it's so personal to me. So I think since you and I are both pharmacists, by our first career choice, you have to already have a certain level of self-discipline to really make it through pharmacy school, to receive your doctorate, and to be into a career path where you are taking care of human lives. I mean, that's kind of a baseline that you have to be a high functioning, very sharp, very good with time management and self-discipline as kind of your work ethic, is my opinion. That also has to translate over to what I'm doing or, you know, when you're creating a company. But my definition of success has definitely changed because as that achiever personality that I told you that I have, you know, I'm always competing against myself. Always. There is, like you said, dean's list and this and that, you know, or just trying to survive, but it's always really dialed up just a notch. And as a pharmacist, you know, I was a neurocritical care pharmacy specialist for 13 years of my career, where really success was more or less creating new pathways for patient care. So this could be formulary management. These are new protocol developments, new processes put in place. And now as a business owner and manager of people and creating something for consumers, all of that is still there, but success for me is so different now. Now, I am someone who is a very, very hard worker. I keep my head down. I put blinders on, and then all of a sudden I come up for air and I'm like, what just happened? You know? Yeah. So success is definitely going to be growth of your company. You know, keeping integrity intact in your company is really important to me. But time has become so much more of a valuable commodity to me than money. And it is insane how important time to myself and to my daughter has become because I became a mom, but also I was able to start to free up my calendar, or I would say maybe not even free up my calendar, but free up my time space during the day to now have a choice with where I'm going to put myself in certain time frames, right? So like as a pharmacist, I will be in a hospital. You're going to be there for 8 to 10 to 12 hours. And you know, you've got this focus of just patient care. And now I'm wearing all of these different hats, but also I have a daughter that I'm like, now I get to go to her. She's about to start kindergarten. So I get to go to her kindergarten, you know, little mom breakfasts, or I get to actually go to her school plays, or I got to go to her little graduation. Those are very tough things for healthcare professionals. And I know that any healthcare professional hearing this understands that. And it's kind of the sacrifice you make as you enter into a career path of providing care for people. So I think for me, time has become so much more valuable than money. Yes, we all need to make money to survive. And yes, money buys us really comfortable lifestyles. But if I'm making a lot of money and I have literally no time to spend with my daughter because she's the light of my life, then for me, I am not going to be happy. That is not success to me. So I think balance of having more time or more options and opportunity to free up my time is where success is kind of landing for me at the current moment. To be available to her, to be available to have vacations more often, to be available to knock off from work at a certain time because we've gotten everything done on our list that day. And now I can go pick her up from school early and, you know, take her to the park or go ride our bikes or take her for ice cream. Those are really important things for me personally.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, Allison. I think too, from what I've only been out of school, pharmacy school now for just over 2 years, graduated in 2020. But I've seen just in that short span of time, the priorities of money really for me, and some of you listeners probably agree with this too. For me, it's the only motivation to get more money is to then get more time and freedom to be able to do what I want. Like you just shared, if you can build a company that provides you some stability and maybe passive income on the side while you're working full-time or part-time to spend more time with your daughter, you know, that then it's worth it. At least that's how I kind of see it. So I think I've seen the definition shift. So hopefully if you're listening, you maybe can think in your mind if your definition has shifted at all. And another piece with this, just to dive even a little bit further into what success means to you, is those driving forces that keeps you pushing towards further success. So you have a successful company, you have a daughter, you have a husband. What keeps you driving to push to the next level? Because you could sit back and rest on your laurels and probably do just fine, but it doesn't sound like you're that type of person.
I am not that type of person. I wish I could relax a little bit more. I know my husband would understand that fully, but something that is a challenge for me, and it's actually a very big piece of personal work, because we're all works in progress, and we are for our entire human experience. I truly believe that we are not supposed to be the same people at 40 that we are at 20. And when we're in our 60s, we should have grown from 40. And for me, my daughter is a big piece of that drive, because ultimately I'm playing a very long game here by creating this company, Imogene and Company. Imogene was my grandmother's name, and she was a very special woman to me. And I am actually named after her, Allison Jean. And then my daughter's name is Parker Imogene. So it's very much this transition of our heritage passed down. And I really want to leave this company to my daughter one day. God willing, she wants it. And yeah. So I'm playing a very, very long game with that. So success, you know, is tied up in really creating something beautiful and wonderful for her to enjoy a life of creation and empowering women and giving back to people in a very different way. But also, I think the driving force for me is I created a company, which is so interesting, having a pharmacist background, specifically very chemistry heavy. And I'm such a chemistry nerd. I loved chemistry all throughout my undergrad, as well as in pharmacy school. And by creating this company, which was very much of a happenstance, what I really did was open back up this childlike creativity that I really lost maybe around 4 or 5, because math and science come easy to me. It's kind of like the things that I understand. So over time, as you progress through childhood and then adulthood, those are your skill sets, you know, that can be honed. And for me, I was really honing this math and science kind of skill set, and my creativity and that childlike creativity kind of get put on the back burner. And by starting my company, I tapped back into this childlike creativity and curiosity that I had no idea that I was about to tap back into. And I opened that back up, and I used all this education and experience from pharmacy school, specifically chemistry-based, and married those two. And it is such a space of gratitude for me, because I can look back now and see all of those building blocks that kind of tied together. But the driving force for that is this now newfound love of creating something using all of those skill sets that I happen to be good at, but also creation, because I've never felt more inspired to create. But then also, as a healthcare professional, we have a certain wiring in us that is a giving back mentality. No matter if we're talking about a pharmacist, you know, there are times that we might not want to be dealing with who our customers are, which are patients. We might be dealing with some really tough customers or patients, but by default, we have to know that it is part of the mission of a pharmacist and that career path that we are choosing to better other people's lives. We are trying to improve their health. And that is truly something that was born into me. My father is a third generation farmer. I grew up on a really large family farm in Mississippi, around 5,000 acres. And my mother was a nurse. So I was born into very, very hardworking, middle-class, family, and hard work was just born into us and taught from a very young age. So I am not someone who would know how to sit back and rest on my loins anyway, because it's never been modeled for me, because yeah. I came from super hardworking family. But also it is that drive to now understanding, like I was mentioning earlier, that I am that achieving personality. So it's really more of not becoming a workaholic. That is something for me I have to focus on, really putting boundaries around certain things, because I would work 24 hours a day and that's not good either. So when I say that time has become this really important commodity for me, it's because I'm now understanding that by putting boundaries around my time and kind of protecting myself from myself, if that makes sense, from working. And because as an entrepreneur and a business owner, you are never done. Your checklist is never done. Your to-do list is never done. There is always something evolving. And that is it's a very negative thing for someone like me who wants to end their day with everything clear on their plate. I have now learned that it's never going to be completely done, and that's okay. Put up boundaries around my time. And that will allow me to not go into burnout easier or more frequently. It allows me to keep that creativity very fresh. And then also it leads into that other piece as to what the drive is giving back to people, kind of in that customer experience, and customer service space, which is still what you do as a pharmacist, but just in a very different capacity. So it's already born into me with a farmer as a dad providing, food for Americans, but also my mom being a nurse. So I think that I'm continuing that pattern. It just looks very different now. And I get to kind of bring that together with creativity, and I couldn't be happier.
Right. Yeah. And I think it sounds like from hearing you say that you have really high level of self-awareness. So I think that's really important for people to realize that, you know, your anagram, you know what you're about, you know what drives you, you know what your definition of success is. So really taking the time to understand what makes you tick, I think, is so essential to know where to go, to know what path you need to take. And, people can look at and read your bio in the show notes and go on your LinkedIn and see your experience, that you've had over a decade of experience as a clinical pharmacist. You've had management experience, and now you're a founder of a skincare company. So I really wanted to ask you, when I first researched you and your company, I was like, what prompted that shift from practicing pharmacist to entrepreneur? Like, what was the catalyst for starting your business, Emmagene & Co.? Tell us that story.
This is the craziest story, which I think it's a fun story. And I think it becomes even more fun for me every year that this, since creating my company, passes. because it was just so by happenstance. It was not that I was searching or setting out to be an entrepreneur. As a pharmacist, I had a lot of people, when I was finishing school, ask me, oh, you should own your own pharmacy. You're a very go-getter. You are a leader. You should own your own pharmacy. You can handle that. And that sounded absolutely terrible to me, that I wanted nothing to do with having to manage that many things, specifically insurance and inventory. It was just something that a business owner did not appeal to me whatsoever at that point in my life. And flash forward now, 15 years or so, At the time that I created my company, I had moved out of clinical practice and seeing patients, and I was in a pharmacy administration role. It allowed me more flexible mornings to see my daughter, who at that point in time was very young. She was less than a year old. And I started to understand myself as a mother. It's a very new role. I always tell friends of mine that are becoming moms, I'm like, I need you to understand that before your child, you were the 1.0 version of yourself. And after your child, you are becoming a 2.0 version of yourself. So know that you're about to level up, you're about to change, but you got to give yourself some grace there. So I was seeing myself as this 2.0 version, really trying to find my way, understand myself, learn, you know, myself. And I was doing that as I was in a new role as a pharmacy clinical manager. And during that time, I remember I was 38 at the time, and I just so happened to wash my face one night and looked in the mirror. And I thought to myself, oh gosh, I guess I'm getting older. I need to start taking care of my skin. You know, I was always someone who just washed their face and put on like a drugstore moisturizer. And I, at that point in time, went online. I knew of certain, you know, serums and treatments and things like that, but I'd never used those. And I had not personally battled really horrible skin in my life. And so I started to look a little bit deeper into skincare treatments, and a vitamin C serum is kind of a very flagship kind of thing that everyone needs in their artillery for taking care of their skin, because it's an antioxidant and helps neutralize free radicals. And that ultimately is one of the things to keep your skin healthy. So I purchased a very expensive vitamin C serum. And when I received it, I turned on the back of the bottle and just happened to peruse the ingredients. And I'm not usually like that at all. And I just started to look through these ingredients and kind of see, do I understand anything here? I don't even know what prompted me to do that. And I couldn't find this vitamin C, which, you know, as a pharmacist, I was looking for ascorbic acid. So I just went to Google and I started to, by default, go down a rabbit hole of vitamin C, vitamin C esters, the different molecular structures, and stabilities and concentrations. And something was happening that I just found myself hours deep into this one night. And it all made sense to me because of my chemistry background. And it was so fascinating to me. Then I started to learn about essential fatty acids and the structure of essential fatty acids, the different types of fatty acids, how they relate to our skin cells, what they do for our skin. And then pharmaceutics lab kind of came in. You start to learn the different vehicles for delivering certain products and ingredients to your skin and how you get the best benefit. It was just wild. It just kind of took a shape of its own. And long story short, I was deep into this vitamin C serum situation. And I thought to myself, I can make this. This is not hard. And I put together, through calculations that you and I know how to do easily because they are just driven into us in school. I calculated, you know, what a vitamin C serum needed to be safe, but also effective. I decided to add a couple of extra ingredients to that, that I had really started to find interest in that you don't find on the market, because now I know, being in the skincare space, it's such a marketing and consumer driven space. It's not always for the best reasons, but there are certain companies, larger companies, that will, let's say there's two ingredients that work really well together. For instance, hyaluronic acid and vitamin C work beautifully together, but a lot of companies will not put those two ingredients together because then it allows them to market two different products for the consumer to buy, which is more money in their pocket. That's not my mindset at all. I am very much a kill four birds with one stone, if at all possible, if safe, if effective. And I understood those things because of precipitation, compatibility, you know, elements and the way they work together in different concentrations. So I decided to create my own vitamin C serum and tell no one about it. I ordered a little scale. I ordered all of my ingredients from a reputable, you know, sourcing company that I still use today. And I sat at my kitchen counter and I formulated a vitamin C serum. I told no one about it. And I started to apply it. About 2 weeks later, I believe, I had several girlfriends ask me, what are you doing to your skin? It looks amazing. And I said, well, I'm making a bootleg vitamin C serum at my kitchen counter. And they said, oh my gosh, will you make me some? And I said, sure. You know, that's how it started. It was not ever this intention to create a company. So then it kind of went a little bit deeper into some body products, some facial oils. And I would say maybe 6, 7, 8-ish months later, I was having a girls' night with some of these same girls. They had been using some of these things that I had created. And, you know, I would have an extra couple of bottles and I would just give it to them. And I think, honestly, if I'm being completely transparent, I had enough wine at this girls' night for them to talk me into creating an LLC and a skincare company. And it's so funny to think back now because I remember them telling me, Allison, you have all of this background and understanding of things that we don't because we're not in a chemistry, you know, experience kind of educational background. And you're creating legit, very effective skincare. You really need to explore this and be curious about this. So I did. And I created an LLC and here we are.
Yeah. I mean, that's an incredible story. I think, I don't know if you can hear while you tell that story, that curiosity piece, like really, that's like kind of what I focused on was like, you were so curious about what you were putting on your skin that you kind of went down that rabbit hole, like you said, but it blended your curiosity with your expertise. And that's, I think, where you can possibly find what might work for your entrepreneurial ideas. And I'm still struggling with this, to be totally transparent with you and the audience. Like, I'm not an expert on this at all, but people that I've spoken with, like Allison, they recommend, you know, your passion, your expertise, your curious nature, you know, when those intersect, that's when you can really find something that's unique. And obviously, you had a great group of friends that were able to help you test, help encourage you, you know, maybe some liquid courage with the wine to be able to launch it and create the LLC. But I think all those things really came to a T that made something special and unique. And now, I mean, created a legacy that you now want to pass down to your daughter and is built on, you know, the relationship you have with your grandmother. So I think all those things, it's like crazy how it got to that point. But I can kind of see how that curiosity really could have been that catalyst for you to go down that route.
Yeah, that's such a good point to make because, it gives me warm and fuzzies when I think of like, I now have the time, right? And the brain bandwidth, because there for a while I didn't. I felt like I was drinking from a water hose, you know, all day, every day, 24 hours a day. But now I can look at this and I can see all, like I said earlier, all the dominoes kind of fall and I can see this legacy and see the true integrity that I built my company on that I want to always continue and paying homage to my grandmother. But I think it's so important what you just said about when you find something that is piquing like this curiosity and kind of bringing in a skill set that you've been using and you can do with your eyes closed. Those are the things you lean into. Don't let those scare you. That's the special sauce. That's when you've got something that you can create a new way that something is perceived by society and you can do a lot of very important, pivotal, changing things in that space because you will never lose the passion for that if you are starting from a place of curiosity.
Right, right. And I think everyone that's listening that has, you know, some type of education after high school, you obviously know that structure that you need to follow. And sometimes you might feel like that kind of dampers a little bit of your creativity and your ability to branch out from the mold. But I think that it should just serve as a source of encouragement, especially those that are in education, even past undergrad, you know, you doctor pharmacy, your master's, anything like that, medical school, possibly. I think that you should just know that you can do something different if you choose to. I mean, look at Allison. She was in practice for a decade plus and then launched a company that now within literally like 2 years, you sold like 5,000 products. You were in like 11 different locations. I mean, a wild success, and who's to say what it can, you know, what it might be able to grow into. So I think that's really an encouraging story. And Allison, really, like, I just have a question kind of tailored towards possibly the pharmacist listening, or maybe even someone that's considering pharmacy school. Would you recommend that someone attend pharmacy school right now? If they were to ask you, hey, I'm in high school, I'm just about to go to college, I'm thinking about the 6-year plan at Butler University, what would you say to that person? Do you think they should do it?
Oh, wow. Put me on the spot there.
All right. We can edit it out.
No, I'm totally good with this. So what's interesting is I started my pharmacist career also as a second choice. I originally, like I said, I grew up on a farm. I rode horses competitively for, close to 15 years of my life, and horses were my life. And I was wanting to go to vet school and become an equine leg surgeon. It was such a niche specific kind of role and career path that I would be in school, I think something like 18 years. And basically I would end up hating what brought me to that career choice because of so many different things. I shadowed a veterinarian, and she actually talked me out of becoming a veterinarian. She said, isn't that crazy? I shadowed this equine leg, just a large animal vet at Mississippi State University. And they have a very large vet school there. And I was so excited. You know, they had seen two of my horses, my competition horses, several times. And she was such a spitfire. I loved her. And I just remember her being so transparent with me and saying, I need you to understand that I want you to look deeper into other things, because the reason why you want to go to vet school, my love for horses and my love for animals, you will end up hating what brought you here, because when the economy's down, when things are bad, people are going to have to take care of themselves over their animals. And what you're wanting to do, you're going to be in school for 17, 18 years. You're going to be on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You are going to spend so much money in school, and you are wanting a very specific kind of position as an equine leg surgeon, like race horses, you know, competition horses, things like that, those are a diamond in the rough. You will not be able to find those very easily. And I don't want you to have spent that much time and money and for you to have a terrible experience and then you end up hating your career choice. Mm-hmm. And I really, really appreciated her saying that to me. And I remember being so just devastated at the time. And so I sat back and I kind of reassessed everything. I think I was like 19. And I had heard pharmacy, right? Like I knew that pharmacists were retail pharmacists. I don't even think I knew hospital pharmacist. And it was a very different world of pharmacy back then. Now, I knew I could still give back to people. I knew that I could still actually balance being a mother and a wife eventually, if that's what I chose, rather than going to medical school. I could still use all of my strengths. I could use all of the science that I loved and make a great living doing that. So that's what kind of led me to looking into pharmacy, like just starting that looking into it and really then eventually pursuing it. Now, 20 years later, pharmacy has very much changed. It is a saturated market. Kids, you know, and I say kids because now I understand I was a kid. are spending so much money to get into pharmacy school and having so much debt when they get out. And really right now, I don't know what you're seeing, but I'm seeing a lot of pharmacists have a hard time, or brand new straight out of school, have a hard time finding a job and a career that they really, really want, only because Tennessee, there's a lot of pharmacy schools. It's very saturated here. But ultimately, I will tie back to what I said. People are always going to be sick. There's job security in being a pharmacist. And I do believe that pharmacists are one of the most important pieces of a healthcare team. I think that pharmacists are an underutilized piece of a healthcare professional team because of their knowledge, because of everything we go through. And pharmacists this day and age, I mean, I kind of got out easy. I mean, when I got out, or when I was in pharmacy school, since then, I mean, how many drugs, you know, come on the market every year, you know, somewhere from 100 to 130-ish drugs, new drugs.
Oh, yeah.
So pharmacy students now are responsible for so much more than I was. And I would say that they're underutilized and just so full of knowledge. It's very discouraging to me. And also with retail pharmacists, they are a free resource. You know, they do not, you do not have to make an appointment with the majority of retail pharmacists. They are a free resource for a patient that truly needs some guidance in managing their medications. So I think that pharmacists are just so important. So on that note, I would say, yes, I would say go to pharmacy school, but also on the pros and cons, I would say on the con piece of this would be really look into, if you can, what is going to make you tick and what you're going to be curious about in that career choice. Because if you are saying, okay, I just want to make X amount of money and I've got 6 years to spend, and I know that someone has paid for my pharmacy school, or I know that I've set money aside, or I know how much it's going to be. And then you get out, you don't have the purpose. You've never identified that purpose to keep you going in an environment and a career choice where you are consistently giving back to others and taking care of others. And it can be a very draining career choice if you don't have the right reasons behind it. But in summary, for me, if I'm sharing my personal story, I would not even be at the point that I am now. I would not be this entrepreneur in a skincare company where we formulate everything. We are everything under one roof, everything from manufacturing to formulating to shipping. I would not know any of the pieces that led me to understand how to formulate a vitamin C serum if I would not have gone to pharmacy school. So I pay so much gratitude and give a lot of credit to being a pharmacist, because ultimately that is what led me to create this. This is why I still see patients once in a blue moon, because the career choice of pharmacy has given me so much just in the short amount of time that I created a company.
Yeah. And I think it, for me, it really ties to like just that learning piece and being curious again. Really, I think that's like just the overarching theme that I'm getting from everything you're saying, Allison, really is like curiosity and passion and expertise, really like taking that trifecta and blending it. And if you're thinking about doing something post high school, you know, maybe you're not even thinking college, maybe you are, but I think that, yeah, just definitely be diligent about thinking, what is your why? Because I know that that's something, at least in my high school experience, that wasn't really something that they hammered into you as far as like, what is your why in life? And I think that might have had people think a little bit differently for their next step. But, you know, that you obviously can't have regrets about anything. I don't have regrets. I'm just thinking like, from a learning standpoint, it creates who you're destined to become regardless. So I think, I mean, obviously you're where you are now because you went to pharmacy school. So I appreciate that advice. Hopefully, if someone's listening and thinking about going to something post-undergrad, post-high school, hopefully that gives you a little bit of guidance. And Allison, one additional question about, we could just say healthcare. Is there a common myth about healthcare/pharmacy that you want to debunk? You kind of maybe just did that a little bit with pharmacy school, but broadly, is there anything you've seen from now being an entrepreneur in a healthcare business, basically? Is there any myth that you want to debunk?
I think for me to focus on something to debunk would be from my perspective of how I think, kind of my thought process. I think it ties into what you're just saying of always like establish your why, but it is very, very important to anyone, not just pharmacist or going into pharmacy school. You can identify your why, but your why is going to change. It's going to shift. It's going to mold. And that's just because we grow as humans, and we are, it's part of the human experience to really always be in this growth pattern and reinvention, honestly. So I think keeping an open mind to know that your why you need to establish it, but you always need to be paying attention to that and see if it's shifting and follow that. But being so open to what comes your way is one of the most important pieces of advice that I could give, because that's what I did. But debunking something, for me, I thought as a pharmacist, as anyone would, you know, when you choose a career path that has time and a financial investment, a part of it, you are dedicating yourself to that career path for life. And, you know, when you're younger and you're 18 or 19 years old and you can look out ahead of your life and you can say, okay, I'm dedicating myself to becoming a doctor. I'm dedicating myself to becoming a pharmacist. I'm dedicating myself to become a nurse, whatever that looks like. But career paths where it's very much one focus, know that that focus can change. debunking the fact that you are tied into one thing for the majority and the rest of your life. I really, really focus on, and I want my daughter to know this as she gets older. And I do a lot of mentoring with people, a lot of women. I've done it with some pharmacists that are finding themselves stuck in whatever career they're in. And they saw what I did. And I went ahead and kind of changed my life. And they want some advice on that. And I always start with, be open to everything always taking new forms and new shapes. And specifically in a healthcare career choice, when we make that time and that financial investment, we think that we've got to stay on that road for life. And sometimes as we grow, other things start to serve us. And that's when that creativity comes in, and really listening to your intuition and what is really speaking to you as a human being to really light you up and make you become passionate about that. That is where the focus for human beings to be their best selves, to serve others, really lies for me. So I think debunking is more of like this general, you know, kind of sense and overview of, do not think that just because you make one choice that you have to stay there for forever. You can allow that to mold and shift into new paths for you that are going to serve you and ultimately serve society better.
Yeah, Allison, I think that is phenomenal advice. I think everyone should replay that, listen back to that a few times. I certainly will be doing that after this is published, because that's something I need to hear daily, honestly, is that you can change your why. Like we shared in an earlier part of this episode, like your definition of success or your driving forces, you know, they change over time. And like you shared with, once you have a child, you level up and go to V2 of Allison. And so that's, you're changing there too. You know, you might experience that change when you get married or when you graduate, you know, your pharmacy school or anything like that. You change, you level up, and different things mold. And if you weren't open to that, you probably would not have ever started this company. You would not have had that curiosity to look at those ingredients and do that. So I really appreciate you sharing your story. I definitely think the listeners here, you've got to be clapping your hands after this one, because this has been phenomenal. I think that the advice here is really applicable to a wide variety of situations wherever you are in your entrepreneurial journey. And Allison Brennan, thank you so much for being a guest in the Eric Mueller Show. We look forward to following your journey.
Oh, Eric, thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Take care.
You too.